Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the PRX Table. I'm your host, Minister Dunlap, along with Sister Sanders, Minister Feaster. How y'all doing this evening?
I am doing fabulous.
Welcome back, cousin. Welcome back. Now she's trying to act shy, Brother Feaster.
I see that.
Well, let me just tell you, we have another good show in store for you this evening. All those who are listening, we thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to just sit back, relax. We want you to sit back and relax. We want you to listen, but we also want you to participate on the PRF table. As we always say, this is a place where everybody has access to the table. There's no cliques here. There's no special groups. It's just brothers and sisters who have a desire to hear from God, who have a desire to make some adjustments and some changes in their situation. And not just in their situations, but in the situations of others. So we are glad that you have taken the time once again to join us. And Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, what we're going to do this evening is we're going to continue on from our last week's show, which was Truth and Tithing. So that's the title of tonight's show, Truth and Tithing. But this is part two. And I was just telling a brother at the barbershop that when we get on these type of discussions surrounding PRF, possessions, resources, and finances, it is God's intention for us as the hosts of this show not to move too fast. It is God's intention that we give everything that God wants us to give to you and wants you to give back to us and to others who are listening that you may not even know that you're actually affecting. So it would be the wrong thing if myself, Brother Feaster, and Sister Sanders were to do like what happens normally in church. You get a fresh word every single Sunday, but you never get a time to meditate on that word or come back and be able to ask questions to be able to get further understanding or even time to seek God and say, what are you saying to me, Lord, in regards to this that you have had the man or woman of God to present to me? So that's why we're going to take our time, everybody who's been listening with us for several months that we've been going live with this particular show. We're going to stay here until God gives us release, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders. That is the best that we can do, and that is the right thing to do. So with that, we just want to let everybody know, join in on the conversation. Give us your input. Teach us something. Teach us something. Share your experiences. That is what this whole show is all about. So, Brother Feaster, let's go ahead and get it started, or Sister Sanders, let's get it started. Brother Feaster, since you were with us last week, and thank you, cuz, for being back, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what went on. For those who are just tuning in for maybe the first time, did not catch the show, and I'll share how you can our listeners can go and listen to the show next week. But share with us, if you will, Brother Feaster, where were we last week, and where are we trying to go this week?
Well, last week's show was just a basic overall introduction of tithing. We really didn't dig deep. We kind of did a whole lot of, questions, not necessarily answers, but just proposed a lot of questions, as in, these are some of the questions that are out there that people either don't know the answer to or, truthfully, a lot of people are tithing and very unaware to why. They are aware it's a commandment, but, what is the logic behind the commandment? Are we just doing it out of faithful obedience? And I think that there is some honor in faithful obedience. But when it becomes a part of a command where we just do it out of reputation, out of repetitiveness, and we just do it just to be doing it and don't understand that this is something that God wants us to do wholeheartedly, then it becomes there's a difference between religion and relationship. And religion are just the acts that I do. But relationships are things I do, the same acts, but I do them with a certain purpose behind it, love behind it. And I think a lot of us are religiously paying our tithes as opposed to giving our tithes. And we look at tithes as a payment as opposed to something that we do because we love the Lord. It is a commandment that we ought to do. You know, so it's just that we just introduced the overall basic view of some of the things that we're looking at and just asked a lot of simple questions that, you know, we didn't really answer a whole lot of anything. We just asked a whole lot of simple questions just to get the fire started. And cool. I learned a lot last week because I'm going to honestly and confess to everybody that my major is relationships. I'm studying to be a marriage and family counselor. So, you know, just digging into the financial piece of it is really a lot learning for me. But when it comes to tithing, I learned last week that the little bit I did know really is not a whole lot. So I'm confessing up front that I'm here learning too, and I'm willing to share what I know about tithing. And a lot of people have, you know, some bad experiences with tithing, which we brought up last week also. And we want to bring that out and bring light to that also. So last week was just an overview and a preview of what we're beginning to do. Just like we started with stewardship, we did an overview preview, and then we got into the different areas. And so today we're going to continue on with, you know, digging deeper into tithing.
Sure thing. And we do want everybody to know, if you are interested in joining into the conversation, you can join us on Facebook. So we are on Facebook. The Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. Please go in onto the page and like our page and be able to see all the conversation that is going on between people all over the place. And that's also a place where we post the questions that we believe that we're going to talk about on the show. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way, but the conversations or the questions that get us jump-started on the show every single week, we put out there so that you can have something going on in your mind. And if there's something that God speaks to you or something that you actually have a question about, you're actually free to post it. If you would like to message us because you don't want to put yourself out there, so to speak, you're a little bit shy, we understand that as well. Please just go ahead and send us a message. We'll read on the air. If you don't want your name shared, we do respect that because we understand this. This subject, everybody, of tithing is a sensitive subject. So by what we're doing on this show with this particular subject, it's not about being divisive, it's not about dividing, but it's about uniting us. Because as Brother Feaster just mentioned, in so many words, if we can get on the same sheet of music, whether my church alone is on the same sheet of music about tithing, my church alone is a better place. It's not about my church, Brother Feaster's church, Sister Sanders' church, all having the 100% same beliefs, total understanding. It doesn't work like that. We all have different things that we bring to the table. We all have different experiences. So do your part. Ask the questions. Raise the questions not just to us, but raise them within your own church family, within your own household. And just watch how God will just start giving revelation after revelation after revelation. So thank you, Brother People, for that recap. Sister Sanders, let me come to you. We know that you're doing good, and we know that you are just like a great ready-to-be-bust. So go ahead and let us know what's on your mind so we can just go ahead and get this thing started.
Thank you, Nate. But once again, I'm glad to be back this week on the show. I just basically want to just share, you know, my thoughts on tithing. I know you talked about, you know, it being a commandment, and I really believe that. And just, you know, I think that tithing is important. We always hear in church that, you know, God doesn't need our money. He absolutely does not, but he does need our faithfulness. He does need us to be obedient, and he does need us to be good stewards over what he's given us. And it's not just the money itself, but it is also the job, you know, and that's what he's given us. And so I think that when we look at tithing, it is out of obedience that we give. And I like, not a big fan of the whole Malachi every time, you know, it's offering time. not a big fan of hearing Malachi, but I understand why. I understand why. But I think that it's time for us to just stop giving that scripture, because sometimes to me it's kind of, even though I give my tithes, it's kind of felt like it's used, depending on how it's being delivered, as a way to kind of make people feel guilty, kind of make them feel like they should give as if they don't already know to give. And I think that it's important that, you know, the Word of God says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. How many times are we going to keep giving, you know, reciting Malachi? And I wish I had the scripture. I'm going to say it's 3 and 1. But how many times are we going to keep saying, you know, will a man rob God? And I've been in church, and I'm like, yes, he will. You know, Lord, he's going to rob you. You know, but how many times are we going to give that scripture and then not train people and not teach them on why we're saying it, so that people understand? Because not everybody came from a background that are in our churches. Not everybody understands the biblical principles of giving. Not everybody understands that if you give, you know what I'm saying, and you give them with that cheerful heart, that the Lord is going to open up the windows from heaven and pour you out a blessing. Some people don't understand that because they've never given. They're always used to somebody giving to them. So when you have people who are not used to those biblical principles coming into your church, and you're quoting out here with man rob God, yes, you will, and his tithes and offering, you know, when you try, and it's almost like coming across as begging or trying to pull a guilt trip on people, or some people may take it as being judged or may feel condemned because they don't have to give, then it's like we create a wall to where now those people who would have given kind of feel like, well, I have something to give, but maybe it's not enough. Or why is the church asking for this money? You know what I'm saying? I know you got orphan, but what, you know, why I need to give you 10% of what I make? You know, so I think that we need to educate people so that they understand the biblical principle of giving, because when people understand why they're giving and the reasons why they're giving, you won't have, oh, I'm not giving my money so that the pastor can get him a new car or get a new house or to put some paint on the wall. They will understand the spiritual aspect and the spiritual blessings of them giving, because the ultimate blesser of the tithe is God. And once we see past the human aspect, then we're better able to understand that when I give, it has nothing to do with paying a pastor's salary. It has nothing to do with paying his mortgage. I'm giving out of my faithfulness and obedience to God so that the Creator will in turn bless me.
Wow. You know what? Let me ask you this, Sister Sanders. Did you listen to last week's show at all?
No, I did not.
Let me tell you, Brother Feaster, Brother Feaster and I, let me tell you, we just sitting back here cracking up at you, just so you know, because so much of what you just said was about 30 minutes of what we talked about last week on the show.
Hey, man, that's what's up.
You know, so let me just jump in here then, and since you just passed the baton to me, the scripture that you mentioned, for those who did not listen to last week's show, Malachi 3:8. Is actually Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10. That's what we dealt with for such a long period of time, and we felt it was important that we dealt with that because, as Brother Feaster said, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I get it wrong, Brother Feaster said that's the beatdown scripture.
That's what I said.
It is.
He said Malachi 3:8 and 10 is the beatdown scripture. And I was like, you have a very good point. And here's the reality. It doesn't need to be the beatdown scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how people perceive it. So we're not going against what the word says. The word says what it says. Said, a man robbed God. How have you robbed me? But you ask, what do you mean? Did we ever cheat you? You cheated me of the tithes and offerings that are due to me. Verse 9, you are under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating me. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be food enough in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven, and I will pour you out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me and put me to the test. Okay. Brother Feaster mentioned a very good point, and we'll see if the Lord allows us to move on to something else. The very good point that Brother Feaster mentioned last week was, if you continuously have to mention that scripture Sunday after Sunday, why would you want to do that? It would seem that something would click in the mind of whoever's providing that scripture, wherever it's coming from inside of the church service, to be able to say, if my people, who God has given me, are continuously robbing God through tithes and offerings, if that's my stance, why not go the extra stance and say, God, show me how to teach them so that they are not doing that? Am I right, Brother Friesen?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I think a lot of times we get stuck in a rut, and you know, we, you know, out of religion, you know, and I'm going to let everybody know that I am not a fan of religion. Actually, I am one that believes that when I am called a religious person, that's equivalent to cussing me out. But I feel, because I feel that you don't understand that I am not religious. I am in a relationship, you know, and because of my relationship, I may do religious things, but it's no difference than what I do with my wife. I do things because I love my wife that over time they become ritual. And so I when it comes to my relationship with God, what I'm saying is I go to church not out of obligation but out of love. So if I miss a day, I'm not deemed to go to hell. And that's what I, you know, so I think we've gotten to the point to where we're stuck in a rut, and religiously, when it comes time to mention tithes, we immediately jump to that same scripture. Number one, not taking into account of what Malachi was talking about. What was God saying through Malachi at the time? Number two, I think a lot of people have not even ventured out to look and see, are there any other scriptures referencing to tithes? Number three, it's gotten to the point now to where the little kids in the back are mocking the preacher or pastor as they get up there and say it, because they know it's going to be the exact same thing every week, and then it loses effectiveness because now we no longer pay attention. So I feel like we're doing God a major injustice simply because we're not honoring God's word the way God intended. Because if we get a scripture to the point to where we no longer pay attention to what God meant or what God said or what God wants us to get out of it, then we're no longer paying attention to the scripture. I call a lot of Christians parishioners, because all they do is repeat. They don't have a clue what they're saying. They're just repeating it. You know, and I think a lot of times when we come to this scripture, we're just repeating it, and it becomes habitual, it becomes out of obligation, it loses its intent, it loses its power, it loses its purpose, and then the people, like Adia said, the new people that are coming in, as the scripture is being said, and they're looking around at the seasoned saints and their body position, as they're not paying attention, as their body language, as it could be negative. You know, now they're getting a bad impression, number one, of the scripture, and number two, of tithing. And that is a problem. That is a major problem. And this is one of the questions that you put on the page. Tithing is a part of worship. And we should never enter worship in such a way that it's burdensome. Man, worship is glorious. Worship is, you know, is a praise. Worship is okay, I'm gonna calm down. But worship should be entered into like the sports fan when their favorite team have reached the championship. I mean, worship, I mean, when we enter into worship, it is a Christian Super Bowl that we can enter into at any moment, at any time, anywhere. So tithing is a part of worship. If we're at the point to where we do not worship God and our tithing, then we're doing an unjust to what the scripture says. We're doing an unjust to what God wants. And I didn't mean to go through all of that, but that's just what we're missing out of the text. We're doing a major unjust to Malachi, what God was saying through Malachi, and what the scripture of Malachi is saying to God's people. Okay, I'm breathing.
I got you, bro. I got you, bro. Go grab you some water. I know how you do. You know, you've gotten somebody stirred up already, Brother Feaster. And let me just take a quick intermission before I go to the caller. Caller, we see you on the line that's waiting to join in with 5656, so give me about 10 seconds,
For all those who are connected on Facebook, again, the Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. And you'll see a post that says join us Thursday at 8 p.m., and then you'll see some questions underneath that post. And there's three questions, but Afisa mentioned one, so I just want to put it out there in case anybody has a question or has a response that they'd like to put on the Facebook page. It's truth in tithing, and the question for the first question is tithing a sacrifice? The second question is tithing a part of worship, which you just heard about Afisa mentioned? And the third one is, what are the specific scriptures that speak to tithing? So we kind of hit around on question number two, is tithing a part of worship? We also hit around on what are the specific scriptures that speak to tithing. Because if we don't start talking about what the scriptures are, then we can't come together and touch and agree on those specific scriptures, which is the word of God. So we'll come back to that. Let's go to the caller that's on the line and been waiting patiently. Caller with the last 4-5-6-5-6. Go ahead, ma'am or sir. How you doing this evening?
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you. And good evening, everyone. I am so glad that we're on this subject again, because, you know, and my heart goes out to the new converts, because I know how I felt as a new convert, didn't know anything, never read the Bible, didn't know anything about salvation. And as soon as you get saved, you don't understand things. And then, you know, they'll say, okay, if you don't do this, you're cursed with a curse. And that's what really just be emphasized. And so, me, I want to study and see what these curses are, you know. And then, you wonder, okay, now, am I in witchcraft? You know, because when you hear the word curse, it means, you know, the old timers, we believe it's witchcraft, you know. And it just throws you all off balance and the reason why you even got saved. And so I'm just so glad that you all are bringing this to the forefront, which you did before. And I did not comment on it because I just was just, you know, pondering over it. But now that's come up again, you know, when myself, I would start reading those Deuteronomy 28. Okay, and I'm just born again. I don't know anything. Just give my life to the Lord. Never read the Bible again, you know. And just say you give your tithes and offerings, not explaining what is tithes and offerings and how important it is to give tithes and offerings. And so then I go look under Deuteronomy 28, as I said before, and I see all these curses, which I'm reading them, and I'm really not understanding what these curses are. And then, you know, the enemy plays with your ignorance, you know. And so now I'm thinking, my gosh, what curses am I under, you know? What about these tithes and offerings? What are they talking about, you know? And so my heart really go on for people that's just given their life to Jesus, and it's the first thing they slam on you, is if you don't pay your tithes and your offerings, you are under a curse. And then go to Deuteronomy 28 and see the curses that you are under. You know, I am so glad that this is being brought to the forefront, because, you know, myself, I was saying, well, you know, now I'm under a curse. What does that mean? You know, and then you go to others, they've been taught the same way. Yeah, you're under a curse. And then, you know, then you start getting paranoid, et cetera, et cetera. All the things in the end will bring to you because of your ignorance. And so I would like to know, as a brother, you were saying, what is that scripture really saying when it does, you know, it talks about you not your curse with a curse. What is it really saying? You know, because now I've grown in the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't, you know, I'm not there. But for just someone that's just coming into the kingdom of God, they'll get an understanding of it. Because, you know, you may not even understand, like I said, you don't understand what it means. You don't have, may not even have money at that time, you know. And then you're just kind of walking around thinking you're under a curse, you know. And so I just would like for the brother just explain, you know, what does that scripture mean? Thank you.
And Brother Peace, I don't know if you have it or not, but the sister is referring to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 and following. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. And then it lists specifically your towns and your fields will be cursed, your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed, your children and your crops will be cursed, the offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be cursed. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me.
I actually thought she was talking about Malachi. So, I mean, if you're still on, please, could you clarify, do you want to know understanding on Deuteronomy or Malachi?
Well, that's good that he brought that. Well, that's good that he did bring it forth for the ones that didn't know what I was talking about in Deuteronomy 28. But I was really referring to Malachi 3:10 because, you know, I don't even know myself. You know, I just know that's not that wasn't what the way I thought it was, as far as me walking around and thinking I'm cursed and all that stuff. You know, so I know better than that. But for others that really don't know, you know what I'm saying? Because I did feel I was cursed. You know what I'm saying? I was praying, Lord, don't let nothing happen to my children, Lord. I am not paying no tithes and offerings, Lord. Don't let nothing happen to my grandchildren. You know, just on and on and on, and you don't have anyone to talk to, you know. So I just wanted you to give the explanation of that Malachi 3:10 pertaining to the curses, please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. We appreciate you. We appreciate you joining in with us. And press 1 on your dial pad. That way we can see that. In case you want to come back on, press 1 again, and then we'll see you, okay? Thank you very much. Brother Feaster, did you have anything on that, my brother?
Yeah, I just want to do a basic overview on tithing out of Malachi. First of all, it's really just two things I want to point out without actually, because I'm a word guy, so I can actually dig deep into each word, and we can be on here another hour, and I don't want to get involved in all that, because But anyway, I know, right? But I just want to bring up two points about Malachi to help us understand the direction God was taking Malachi in there. Number one, Malachi, when God was talking to Malachi to write, Malachi was talking to farmers and agriculture and farmers. So they were like herdsmen, cattle, sheep, lamb, and farmers, corn, wheat, rice, and that's what he was talking to. So he was talking to them. The other point I want to bring up is Malachi does not mention money. So if we look at those two things, then we can already see how it was Malachi is being taken out of context. During that time, they were not referring. I mean, so what we've done is we put a big value on money. Money is nothing but trade. That's it. It is exchange of goods and services. Back if we go back 100 years, when eggs cost a nickel a dozen, well, you may not have a nickel, but you might have some. Canned yams that you can from last winter that you can give to the store owner, and that was just as equivalent as the 5 cents. And so that's part of what Malachi was talking about. We've taken it to we have defined it into money, directly into money. So what Malachi was talking about here when he gets to chapter 8, between 8 and verse 12, he's talking about you know, just what happens when you don't bring in a tithe. And we don't like to talk about curses in the Bible. There are a couple of mentions. There are a couple of references to cursing in the Bible. And there are some. So if we look at it as a curse, as she was saying, as in the witchcraft, then, you know, yes, it would seem like it's a bad thing. And I'm not saying that the curse is a good thing. But what I am saying is if we look at it from these are the ramifications of disobedience, then that takes away that such a negative connotation on what a curse is. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm not trying to lighten a load on it, but I'm trying to help broaden our explanation of what this curse is. This curse is not totally, you know, like it is in witchcraft. So, we have to look at it from the totality of the scripture. He was talking to farmers and agriculture. He wasn't mentioning money. And when he says, bring all the tithe into the, let me read the scripture. He says in verse 10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. There might be food in my house. What he was saying is that you are a farmer. You have corn. You are a farmer. You have wheat. Bring in a portion of your corn. Bring in a portion of your wheat into the storehouse, and then we will be able to help the needy or help in a time of need. You have cows, you have sheep. Well, bring in a portion of your cow, bring in a portion of your sheep,
And then we can help in a time of need or help the needy. So we've gotten it totally to the point to where we're just referencing to money and not realizing that the scripture says so that, let me read it again. The scripture says that there may be food in my house. So what God is saying is that there should be something in the house so that we can give to those that need it. And we're missing that part. So that I just, you know, without going word for word like I love to do, that's a brief overview of what God was telling Malachi to tell to the people.
Sister Sanders, if you want to jump in, go ahead. If not, then I do have something I want to say on this subject.
I'm with you, Nate. I just wanted to touch on the whole part. When you look at Malachi 3 and verse 9 about the curse, when you go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about a curse again, and this is with Cain and Abel, because they were bringing their first fruit. They were bringing the best to God. And when Cain did not bring his best, what God told him, he says, now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, we're talking about those fields that Feaster was talking about, it says it will no longer yield its crops for you. You'll be restless and wander on the earth. So we put that into, when we're looking at Malachi 3 and 9, and we're looking at that curse, we're basically seeing that whatever it is that we have that we're working with is saying that it's not going to produce anything. So you may have $500, but where that $500, if you had given 50 of it given 50 for tithes and offering, the what you should have been able to produce from that 500 from giving the 50 is not going to happen. And so I just wanted to bring that point out, is that you see where God is talking about tithing, even in Genesis chapter 4, and where the curse comes in is that thing that we're doing. So if that was Cain's job to till the ground and to bring the first fruit of his harvest, when you look at it in the 21st century, if our job is to sweep the floor and we are not doing that, then we cannot expect for what we're doing to produce a harvest. And that's how I'm seeing that verse. And I'm going to stop right there because my baby's starting to make noise, but I jump back in. But I just wanted to share that part where we're talking about the curse and how it relates to Malachi and what that curse actually is. I'm looking at it as being the job that we do being cursed, and what we are supposed to be able to produce from that job is going to be null and void or very, very little until we get into right order and obedience with God.
Okay. So here's my response to the caller's question. And think about what Adia just said about the curse, and that's what we're talking about right now in response to the caller. Here's my thought process, y'all. Why are we even talking to a new convert about being cursed from the beginning anyway?
Yeah.
You have not even had a relationship with that new convert. You may not even know that individual. So it is better, in my opinion, that we not even deal with this cursing. You are cursed for not bringing your tithes and offerings to the storehouse for somebody who was taught. I'm tracking with you, Adia, on that scripture with Cain and Abel. But I think it's really, really very simplistic. If you look in your Bible, in several Bibles, above the verses, some words right above several verses. And in my Bible, it says a call to repentance. So let's put it in context, and that's what I like to do. We're dealing with Malachi. Let's deal with the context. Let's not interpret what all this other stuff means and pull scriptures from here and there. Let's just deal with the context, like Brother Feaster says. These verses in Malachi is part of what Malachi was saying that God told them to say as a call to repentance. So instead of starting at verse 8, let's go back to verse 3. He says, I'm the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how can we return? We've never gone away. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? Going into verse 8. So for the feast, I don't even think we even need to deal with the curse part, because so many people are already taking that as the beat down scripture. What the sister said, that's where she focused. So guess what she did? She went over looking, let me find out what's up with these curses. And she went over to Deuteronomy 28. I'm shaking my head. Like, wow, really? She did what she thought she needed to do because she was trying to find some biblical understanding. But here's what I would say. Where was the person, as a new convert, loving on her, helping to teach her, bringing her into the fold? So she's all for la-la land in Deuteronomy 28, and that ain't even what's talking about tithing. That's talking about all that God has commanded through Moses.
Yeah.
From Numbers through Leviticus through Deuteronomy. All that God had commanded, all the instruction that God had commanded along the way. That's what he was talking about in Deuteronomy 28. So it really doesn't make sense to try to pick out one law when God spoke about a whole bunch of things. And I think that's part of the problem. Let's deal with what we're really talking about. Let's talk about, Brother Feast, you're going to know this, you're going to learn this, or you may have already learned it in school. When two people are having a disagreement, that is not the time for both parties to bring up the kitchen sink.
That's right.
It's the time to talk about the specific issue at hand. I don't like you. I don't like the way you snore. You snore too loud. Okay. You bring that up to me. My response shouldn't be, well, I don't like the way you do this. And then your response back to me should be, well, I don't like the fact that you come in at 11 o'clock every night. Pretty soon we have lost sight of what was actually being the issue from the jump. So I'm just baffled, bro. I really don't understand it. I'm just baffled that is what continues to go on, and those are some of the experiences that people have. But I'm also grateful to God that we're actually giving people the space to be able to communicate that so other people can hear and say, you know what, that's not the right way. What somebody should have said to the sister was this: well, let's talk about the instance of tithing, the command of tithing, in Deuteronomy, not starting off at Malachi, especially not 3:8, because we did talk last week. One thing is that I never hear anybody talk about Malachi 2:7. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction, for the priest is the messenger of the Lord. But you, priests, have left God's path. Your instructions have caused many to stumble in sin. For you have not obeyed me, but have shown favoritism in the way that you carry out my instructions. So, Brother Feaster, back to what you were saying. It's not the beat-down scripture. Last week, everybody, we talked about what tithing is not. Remember that, Brother Feaster?
Yes.
Tithing is not a requirement to get into heaven. That was one of them. One of the things that I also said was it is not a tool to inflict fear into giving. It's not a tool to inflict fear into giving. It's not, and I think, Brother Feast, you brought up, this thing is not about guilt. You know how God was able to say this to the people, Brother Feaster? God was able to say what he said in Malachi because he already taught them about giving. He also already taught them about giving tithes. So if you ain't never taught the people about tithes, why bring up this scripture, which they're going to perceive as, I'm under a curse? Not even looking at the rest of it. Like verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such as a light. Where's the encouragement? That's not encouragement, just giving Malachi 3:8-10, 8, 9, and 10. Brother Feaster, I'm like you. I'm going to go get me a glass of water. Matter of fact, let's take a quick break and let everybody get a short glass of water. You know, this whole thing, as we go to a quick break, this whole thing is about God. This is about, as Brother Feaster said, this is about your relationship with God. So the first thing is, it's not about a curse, it's about God. It's about respecting what he has done for you to provide so that you can provide back. And we'll hit on Deuteronomy 14 when we come back. But Brother Feast, we have to just continue going the route that we're going. So everybody, we'll come back in a minute, and we'll see you in about 2 minutes.
God help me. But we say, great and mighty is our God.
Hallelujah, yes, you are.
Somebody join and say, great and mighty, say.
You're right. I'm going to tell y'all what Brother Feast told me. He said, you forever dropping the mic and walking off the stage. You know, sometimes it just be like that, Brother Feast. I don't do it intentionally. I say what I feel I need to say, what God wants me to say, and then I just try to be quiet. Great and mighty is our God. This thing is about God. It's about your relationship with God. The new convert is connected to God after they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But there's still a lot to be learned. And I'm grateful that God was so patient and kind with the children of Israel that he continued to teach the different laws and the different commands and the statutes and the ordinances so that the people could understand what it was that they were doing. It wasn't something that he just said, tie. I mean, Brother Feaster, he didn't just do a Malachi 3:8. Until they got into the promised land. He taught them what the purpose was. Tithing, the purpose of tithing is to show your fear of the Lord, your reverence for the Lord. That means you got to have a God relationship as well.
Right.
So, Brother Feaster, you know, maybe we can shift gears and go into Deuteronomy 14, but I want to let you, because I know Malachi 3:8 was definitely important to you. So if there's anything else that you wanted to bring out from Malachi or anything else, Brother, the floor is yours. And Sister Sanders, you know, just let me know, because it's not all about me. This is definitely all about God.
I just want to say this as we leave Malachi. One, you mentioned something that I didn't mention in Malachi, and I think I'm glad you brought it up because it's very vital. Malachi was trying to set what the priests were doing wrong right. And because the leaders were doing wrong, the people were doing wrong. And it goes back to when we've hit on leadership so many times on so many subjects, because the people are going to do what their leaders, you know, tell them pretty much. You know, only a few people are going to be bold enough and take that stand and say, hey, leader, you're wrong. And so because of the leader, and that's something that we need to think about. So God was trying to, well, not God wasn't trying, God was using Malachi to set what was wrong right. The other thing I want to bring out, and you just mentioned it, JR, is simply if we neglect the fact that every scripture between Genesis and Revelations, if we would neglect the fact that every scripture is, number one, surrounded and wrapped in God's love, and number two, so that we can learn more about God, then we haven't even begun to touch that particular or those particular scriptures. So when we use, and there are quite a few other scriptures that we use as beat downs, but this is the one we're talking about now. But when we use, like I was taught years ago, never use the pulpit as a battering ram. In other words, when I get up there to preach, I am getting up there representing God and speaking God's word. I am not up there to beat you up for the sin that you're living. Because truth be told, I can't even get up there if we're going to beat people up for sin. You know, so we have to understand that God's intent for everything that he wrote or had us write within the Bible is wrapped in getting a deeper relationship with him. And if we take this scripture and continue to use it like we've been using it, then we fail to see the relationship that God is trying to establish and reestablish. And one more thing, the caller mentioned that when she first became a Christian and now she heard this scripture, she began to try to get a better understanding of the scripture. The sad thing is, and this burdens me, the sad thing is, she felt the need to find out how or why she was cursed. Instead of coming into God and learning about who God is, she's trying to get from under a curse. And I think if we do that to our new converts, to our new believers, to our new disciples, however you call it, if we do that, then we're missing the fact that they came in because of God's love. And I'm stopping right there because that burdens and that bothers me that somebody coming into Christ being drawn in because of God's love is beat upside the head and now is trying to figure out what is this curse I'm under? Where I get this curse? How do I get from under this curse? Man, right. That is okay. Go ahead, JR.
No, I got you, brother. I'm just listening to what you're saying. Well, we do have a caller that's on the line, so I know Sister Adia wanted to jump back in there, but let's go to the caller that's been waiting. So caller with the last four of 9246, do you have a question or comment? How would you like to add to this discussion this evening?
I would like to make
call
a comment.
9246.
Yes, good evening to everybody, first of all.
Good evening. How are you doing, sir?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thank you. It is an honor to be in on this conversation and to hear this being discussed. And my name is Paul Sherman, by the way. I may not be the most popular individual, but actually at our church, I have discontinued the act of tithing.
All right.
And I know that's kind of big for a lot of people, and I've been shunned quite a bit for it. And a lot of people just said, you know, it is because of being stingy and not wanting to give. And I never really explained why I did that. And I will do that very briefly this evening. I do want to be very considerate of everyone else's time. But first of all, it was not a means to be cheap and be stingy. I was brought up a tither. When I was a young man getting an allowance, my parents took my tithing out of my allowance. So I grew up with it. I grew up with the concept of tithing. I never had a bump with it. I never had to kick against it. So I never even felt a reason to question it. So I definitely didn't have the mindset to try to avoid it. But God just brought something to my attention one day, and that was the fact that we so avidly just abuse people with the concept of God.
Mm.
We just abuse them, and I'm trying to, there's so many things I want to say. I want to say it so briefly. The best way I know how to describe it is like this. I was told quite some time ago that there was a woman that was in a very abusive marriage. Her husband was very abusive to her. He was very mean to her. He created a list of things that she had to do daily. And as she did them every day, she had to check off the list, and he would sign. Well, over time, they divorced. They split up. Over time, she found somebody else. She remarried. And this gentleman loved her. He really took care of her. He really nourished her. He really nurtured her. He was just everything the former gentleman wasn't. And one day, she happened to be doing some cleaning, and she found one of the old checklists of her former husband. And as she read down the list, she realized that everything she was made to do in fear and intimidation, she automatically did out of love.
Mm.
And that is the whole Old Testament, New Testament story. What we were made to do at one point in time was simply to give us the understanding that in and of ourselves, we lacked the capacity to be godly. And so now that we're on the other side of the cross, we're in the dispensation of grace, a lot of times we have yet to drop off the guilt and the have-to mentality. Now we're to the point to where the things we do, we don't do out of commandment. We do out of love. We do out of relationship with God. And our giving is a part of that. We were once commanded to give a particular amount because that is how we were made acceptable. Now, we should be willing to give. There should not be a cap on it. We should not be trying to obtain financial wealth by earning. It's no longer about that. It should be in our heart. It should be, as it was said earlier, it should be part of the worship. Giving should be a part of your worship. It should be a part of your daily living. It should be a part of your spiritual makeup. It should not be something that someone has to crack the whip over your head to do, and it should not be something that you're using as a Wall Street means that's going to bring back, you know, minimal risk. I tithe, so I got to be financially set. And I may be stumbling over words. I'm really trying to condense everything for respect of time. But I do believe with all my heart that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and he definitely did. But he did not tithe out of obedience. He tithed out of gratefulness.
Right.
And that's what we miss. He did that from his heart. He did not do that from a command. And we miss that. So whatever we are to give, and I also believe, and I'm through after this, I thank you so very much for this space of time, but to that individual that has to say it every week, you know, are we going to rob God? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And has to fuss about that every week. It's not about what you say, it's about how you're saying it. And when I mean that, I'm not talking about the vernacular and the words you use. It's the spirit that's coming out of you. Because the people feel when you're just trying to get money.
That's right.
They
you're
feel
right.
that. They feel when you're just trying to get money. They feel that. But if you are encouraging someone to broaden themselves and challenging them to do something that will increase them, they'll feel that. And they'll respond to that as well.
Preach, cousin.
Now tell everybody what your name is, brother. I want to make sure I got it right.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
What was your name again, my brother?
Oh, Paul Sherrod.
Paul Sherrod. And you're a pastor as well?
Yes, sir.
You know what? And I thank you for saying it. You are, let me tell you, we earnestly love to get those who are in the position or the calling of being an actual pastor to actually share on this show. Because a lot of things that we're talking about, my brother, I don't know how many times you listen to the show, if this is your first time, but we speak about leadership a lot on this show. And so if we, the people, are talking, and we're leaders as well, don't get me wrong, but there's some people that are listening to pastors. So sometimes it's difficult for those to listen to those who are not their pastor, because some people are just really bound to, I can only listen to one person, only God can speak to one through one person. That's a man of God or woman of God whose church I'm a member of. So I thank you for coming on to the show, and I think we may want to get you back, because there's some some people that may need to hear the reasoning behind why you actually discontinued tithing. And that way I can allow you the space to be able to not have to rush through it, but to actually take your time to break it down and let others be able to call in, because it's just a blessing to be able to say what God has told you to do and revealed to you. And that's what we said at the beginning of the show. It's not about us telling anybody. We haven't told anybody that they have to tithe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody ever picked up on that on the last two shows. It's not me to tell you that you have to tithe. This is a relationship thing. If you don't tithe, you don't tithe.
That's it.
But guess what? If you don't tithe and you know that you're supposed to be tithing, you believe in tithing, you were taught that tithing is what you're supposed to do, you believe in it and you don't do it, well, now you're accountable. God is going to hold those people accountable for what they know, not what they don't know. So for my sister who called in earlier, who heard the verses, Malachi 3, 8, 9, and 10, felt condemned, felt cursed. She didn't have the understanding. She didn't have the knowledge of what tithing was all about. So how would God even, I mean, that's not the type of God that we serve. We serve a mighty God. He's not about cracking the whip, so those of us. So, my brother, I appreciate it. We're going to get you back. Brother Feaster has your contact information, so we're going to reach out to you, and hopefully you'll accept the invitation to come back and talk with us a little bit more, okay?
It's humbling. I appreciate it. I mean, we throw titles around, pastors, whatever, you know. I thank God for the position, but I'm just a man that loves the Lord. And if there's anything that can be said through these ignorant lips that can be helpful to anybody, I truly appreciate it. So I thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless. And let me say this to everybody else, because, you know, we're not trying to let the devil get any little space. I'm a tither. I'm going to tithe because I believe that it's important. I'm not going to stop tithing just because I have a conversation with this brother, this pastor, who says he decided God gave him whatever God has given to him, which we'll hear about when we bring him back onto the show, how it was revealed to him. So because he does that, doesn't mean that we can't engage in the same conversation. I don't believe that the spirit, and I promise you, if I got the wrong spirit, I wouldn't even ask you, brother. So I don't even get the spirit that he's trying to convince other people that they don't have to tithe. He was saying what we've been saying, just in a different way. So we have to get that. We have to understand that God is speaking in so many different ways. We got a caller that's been waiting patiently, calling with the last four of 3963. You're on the air. Go ahead, brother. Caller, last four of 3963. All right. He may have pressed one by accident. Sister Sanders, are you still with us? All right, Brother Feaster, is on you, brother.
Okay, so he got me stirred up, so I'm trying to figure out where to start at. One thing I liked about what he said, I remember when I was going to this one particular chapel, and this chaplain, he stopped communion. He stopped communion. And he told us, because people made a fuss about it. He told us, he said, the blood is on my hands just giving you communion. I am obligated that you understand what you're doing during communion. So I am not going to give you communion until I teach it. And that's what he did. So he stopped communion. We went like 4 or 5 months with no communion. And
wow.
The people were mumbling. But he was teaching on the relationship between man and God.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we got communion, we understood it. We understood the symbolism behind it.
Mm-hmm.
We understood the sacrifice behind it. We understood the relationship behind it. So it was no longer a ritual that we were doing, but it was a relationship that we were rekindling. And what my cousin was talking about was just that. if I understand what he was saying correctly, he stopped it because the people were doing it out of obligation. The people were doing it without understanding, without really knowing what they're doing. They were doing it habitually with no understanding. And I use this story all the time when I do a lot of teaching and talking about, you know, religion. There's a story of a lady that watched her mom cook ham. And every time her mom cooked ham, she cut the piece of the ham off and then put the rest of the ham in the oven. And this happened for years. So the lady gets older, she gets married, she gets a house. Now she's cooking ham. So what she does what she was taught. She takes a portion of that ham, cut a piece of it off, put the rest of it in the oven. So the husband is watching this, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. So he asks his wife, why are you cutting off a portion of the ham before you put it in the oven? And she said, well, I don't know. That's what my mom did, so I'm doing what my mom taught me. So she called her mom. And when she called her mom and asked her mom said, baby, I was cutting off the end of the ham because our stove wasn't big enough to put the whole ham in there. So what the daughter thought was something that was done for a purpose of a great ham or for the purpose of how to cook ham was something done out of obligation simply because she couldn't put the whole ham in the oven. So now she's grown old and she's carried on this tradition, this ritual, this process without even knowing it. And imagine how much money she wasted. Imagine how much money she wasted. How many pieces of ham she threw away because of not knowing, because of not knowing, because of not knowing. And so a lot of times we do a lot of things simply because of not knowing. And we're missing the true meaning or the purpose behind what we're doing. God never intended for the time to be burdensome. Matter of fact, he says, my commandments are not burdensome. Then he turns around and says, with my command, if you have a problem with my commandments, it's because you want to do wrong. It's not because the commandments are burdensome, it's because your simple ways are things that you want to do. So what we've done is we've taken away from the relationship. And I like what he said. He said, you know, he pulled it out because it became obligation. It became habitual. There was no feeling in it. There was no meaning in it. Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. And I can imagine that he's sitting in the pulpit and he's watching his members and they're putting in their tithing. He sees no joy. He sees no pleasure. He sees grudging faces. He sees people calculating and trying to figure out how they're going to pay this versus this. He sees all of this, and as a pastor, he's obligated to loosen the noose that the people have around. And I'm saying noose, and I know there's a lot of black people out there, but I'm using that as an example. He's using that to loosen the noose that is wrapped around the neck of his parishioners. He is obligated by his calling to do that. And if I heard him correctly, he said he began to teach on it. That's what we missed. That's where we came up short. And hopefully when he gets on, he'll be able to explain. I'm hoping after they get a better understanding, he'll bring it back because it is an obligation of God. But he had a reason for not doing it, and I totally agree with it. I totally agree. If we put so much pressure on the people that the people, like there are a lot of churches that fast every Tuesday. And I'm not saying don't fast, and I'm not saying fasting every Tuesday is wrong. But if it gets to the point to where it's a burden and I'm doing it out of obligation, and man, Tuesday is soul food day at the restaurant, or Tuesday is half price wings at such and such place, and I really want to go, well, God says, go get your wings. Don't let it be such a burden. If you're not doing it out of love, then you're actually missing the point.
So, Brother Cecil, we know, and let me say this. I don't like using we as if we're the ones that's doing it. So it's not me that's doing it. It's not Brother Feast. So I don't want it to be a thing of condemnation towards the listeners, that is ministers that's doing this. You know, we the three of us, myself, Brother Feast, and we don't know. We're speaking from our experience about what we've seen, what we've witnessed, what we've heard other people, and that's the context that we're actually coming from. So all those who are pastors or fellow ministers, don't take it like that. Please do not take it like that. I just felt that I needed to say that. It's really, again, about what we've seen from our experiences and our context and the places that we've actually been. But Sister Sanders, I know Sister Sanders has been waiting. Go ahead, sis.
Well, one, I really thank the gentleman for the comments that he shared. And even Brother Feaster, you know, just talking about even with the communion, because I have felt the same way. I just feel like, you know, we got to go back to educating people. And I don't know why it sometimes seems like to teach people about the Word of God and how to live sometimes seems like it's an issue. You know, and we kind of expect for people to come into the church knowing these things, not taking into account, like the sister that was talking earlier, that she had never read her Bible before. But yet and still, you know, she questioned about the tithes and she questioned about this curse. I just think that it's important that we, you know, if we're going to have these different ministries in our church, that we, one, have qualified people to teach on these different topics. So that when we are talking about giving, when we're talking about tithing and about the offering, that people have a general understanding, because for someone who's been in a church for 20 years or more, they understand the concept of giving. But then I also wanted to add the other part to it, you know, to what the gentleman was saying about the church no longer tithing for a season, is a part, kind of just a question, is a part of that of not doing the giving tithes and offering to where they're taking a tenth, still taking a tenth and putting it aside so that when they do start giving, they have it, or are they just spending, you know, everything, you know, whatever comes into their paycheck? And so I kind of just wanted to ask that question to get clarification, because I think that this is going to tie in to some other topics that we're going to present later on, whether it be tonight or it be in the future. And that was just a question that I had, and I don't know if he'd be able to answer that for me right now.
Well, do this, Sister Sanders. Why don't you just go on to the Facebook page and pose those questions individually, and hopefully, Brother Feaster, you can connect with the brother and see if he'll be willing to post some answers, so we can have further discussion and people can see the answers to what Adia had questions about. And that's what this is about. It's about people have questions that they want answers to. But we don't make the space available for us to dialogue and listen. I think we'll continue to hear people say, you know, we have to get back to. But the reality is this, y'all, we don't have to get back to anything. We're already there. The space is already there for people to be taught and to learn. This is what the PRF table is about. All we can do is pray to God that God will send those individuals across our path and across other people's path in this space that is safe. I thought about this too, Brother Peter. I know some pastors that would have heard what Pastor Shurd said, if I said the name correctly.
You said it correctly.
That would have heard that and would not want to even engage his brother in conversation. Not even want to hear what God put on his heart for why he did what he did. And that's a problem within the body of Christ. If we don't have effective communication, if we don't have effective dialogue, then we don't get places. As men and women of God, as ministers, we talk all the time about the Word, the Word, the Word. Well, there's more than the Word. Let me tell you how I know there's more than the Word. Because we send our kids to 12 years of school, and they get more than the Word. They get mathematics. They get arithmetic. It's not all in the Bible. So we're dealing with people in some context of just society and life that we can't be exclusive. We have to be inclusive. And I think people need to hear that. It has to be inclusive. I think we have a caller that wants to say something, Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders. So caller with the last 4-5-6-5-6. Did you have a comment or question?
Yes, this is Marianne speaking again, and I want to just touch on tithes again. I was also told that if I couldn't pay my tithes and my offerings, then what I could do the next month is double up on it, or I could, you know, like if my tithes were $100, then I could pay the $10, like $110 and $110 until I make up the other month. And what's really have touched me here is because when you said tithing was not about guilt, and when you talked about that they won't keep you out of heaven, you don't know how much I was delivered from that, because sometimes I don't pay my tithes and my offerings, and I just think I'm going to hell. And I'm just always afraid, you know, that I don't pay my tithes and my offerings, you know, I'll be going to hell. And that's a, you know, that is, I'm just delivered from that. Because I want God to be pleased with me. And, we know we all fall short. But, you know, when you're really trying, you know, you're trying to do what the word said, you know, do, and then you don't have an understanding. I remember I used to be so nervous, and you know, like when I was thinking I was on the curve, just be so nervous and everything, you know. So I just thank God for this show. I just thank God for this deliverance. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. We love you, lady. We love you. You know, let me say this. This is one person out of millions of Christians in the world that had the courage to say, I am now delivered. I'm set free. I am liberated. And the greatest thing for me is this, that the enemy does not have that over her head anymore. It's done. She is free from that. My prayer for the sister is this. You got to stay there. You have to continue to walk in that. You have to continue to understand and ask God to bring these thoughts and these comments that we've shared with you and others have shared back to your remembrance when the enemy tries to come back at you, and it's not unlikely that he will not. You're free from this. No more guilt. No more shame. You understand that you have not received the proper teaching. God understands that you have not received the proper teaching. And I think about this also, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, is this. We collectively have to do a better job. Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders and I, we're on the air once a week, Thursday nights, 8 p.m., as everybody understands. But then Sunday's coming around. So the individual, you the listener, you have a duty and responsibility to be able to ask those questions. So when you hear that on Sunday, that Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10, when you hear that beat down scripture, that you realize, you know what, I'm not going to let the enemy just beat me down with that, because that's not God. But also have some love in your heart, not to look at the person who is giving that scripture to you, because that may have been just because that's how they have grown up, that's what they were taught, and that maybe that's all that individual knows. So now you have an opportunity to minister to them and say, let me tell you what I've heard. Can we go back to Malachi 2, verse 7? Can you bring somebody in that can teach on this area of tithing? There's a multitude of things that are out there that we can do as individuals, that we don't always have to wait on somebody to tell us. Sister Sanders, did you have anything else that you wanted to bring out, sis?
I did, and I basically, you know, I love the comment that Ms. Marianne said. I really do, because the thought that was coming to my mind was, you know I've been talking about teaching, and I'm very adamant about teaching people, because that's the only way that we learn is by being taught and applying that word to our lives and living it out every day. But I was going to say, you know, I remember there was a point in time where I did not have the money to tithe. And because I had a heart to give, I would feel bad, not because, you know, of me hearing Malachi, but because I really just wanted to God. I really wanted to give because I knew that in my giving, you know, that God would bless me. And so I just wanted to, you know, to walk in that obedience. But I remember a pastor saying, if you don't have the money to tithe, if you have to make a decision between your light and tithe, God understands and he knows your heart. And so many times we're not teaching that. So many times
yes.
we're not telling people that aspect because some people just may not have it. And until they get the knowledge and the understanding and they're able to that their finances are in order and they're in that place to where they can give, we need to be able to show that grace and mercy to tell people that if you cannot give your tithe for whatever the reason is, your soul is not going to be damned to hell. You are not going you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and lose your house or your children be taken from you or you not have food to eat because you got people that know what tithing is, that understand the biblical principles of tithing, and they not bit more living for God no more than a man in the moon, and God sees fit to wake them up every morning. So why would he not wake up his children? Why would he purposely, you know, condemn them when his word says in Romans 8:1 that there is therefore not no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? So if we're teaching people the right way, if we are teaching people about the love of Jesus, then we'll also be able to teach them that until you get to a place to where you can give your tithes and offering, you give what you can give. Until you get to a place to where you can give a monetary tithe and offering, we'll take you volunteering at the church. We will take whatever you are able to give until you can give the way that you see fit or the way that God is opening up the door for you to fit, to know that you're still going to be blessed. And we're missing that aspect. We're looking at stuff in the 21st century talking about money, 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 when some people, if they got a garden because they might not be working, we got senior citizens in our churches that are on fixed incomes, they might not be able to give this month. But if they can come out there to the church and maybe bring some fruit or bring a baked good, I believe that God would take that over some money that somebody had that don't want to give it in the first place and bless the person that's giving the cake or bless the person that's volunteering their time to come clean up the church or maybe watch someone's children than they would to somebody to give that's giving and is not even out of the right heart. And I think that we need to be able to teach the word of God in the right way and stop picking and choosing what we want to give people and making them feel bad that if they don't give a tenth of what they made in their paycheck, that God is not going to bless them. He's going to take everything that they have because the only person that steals, kills, and destroys is the enemy. The word of God says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
That's my cousin right there. Y'all just don't understand. You know, let me get ready to wind this episode of the PR table down, and let's just go and be real specific about something. In Matthew, remember when Jesus, you know, we called the Sermon on the Mount, and he was speaking to his disciples in chapter 5. He said, don't misunderstand why I've come. I've not come to abolish the law of Moses and the prophets, but I came to accomplish their purpose. That should be freeing all within itself because God has given some freedom in that verse right there. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear. So the law did not go away. The law of tithing, all those laws, they did not go away. But it says, until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's where I think we are, Brother Feaston. That's where I think we are, Sister Sanders, and others, that we're just trying to teach people what God's laws are. However, we're not trying to teach it in a condemning way. We're not trying to teach it with, like, the beatdown scripture. We're teaching it in love. Everybody has an option. Everybody has a choice. The reality is this. This law, this command that God gave to them, to the people of Israel, the chosen of Israel, in Deuteronomy 14, he gave that to them. And in giving that to them, there were some provisions for them doing it. So I think the question that we had on the Facebook page, Brother Feaster, was, is tithing a sacrifice? And I heard Sister Sanders, I heard the Sister Marianne mentioning a couple of things. This is just me. I believe that God wants us to tithe. Once we learn and understand what tithing is, I believe that principle, that law, has not gone away. Because what Jesus said, until it's achieved its purpose. So guess what? Jesus didn't say and give a list of all the laws and say, you've achieved the purposes of all of these laws that God had commanded when you do 1, 2, 3, and 4. He didn't give us that. So that means you got a mind, you got a spirit. Y'all got to listen to what your Heavenly Father is telling you. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. The other thing I want to say is I heard about, I think we have to get, I'm trying to allow God to teach me how to say this. If somebody is not tithing and they believe that they're supposed to be tithing, they have the understanding of what tithing is, then I believe that when you hear when that person hears the Malachi 3:8 and they say, you know what, I can't afford it this month, I believe that that Malachi 3:8 is a perfect scripture for them. Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, I don't know. I'll let y'all chime in. But I believe that's a perfect scripture for those who know it and choose not to do it. But what about all those who haven't been taught? That's where we're trying to, that's the other group of individuals that we're trying to capture as well, the ones who have not been taught. Well, guess what? If you go back to Deuteronomy 14, it talks about giving of the tithes. If you look it up for yourself and allow God to speak to you and tell you how you need to be tithing, I think all will be well. I think we won't have all this condemnation and guilt that we keep hearing and witnessing. Brother Feaster, I'm going to let you go ahead and give your last comments, bro. I think I'm about done for tonight.
I have been totally humbled by this show. And without going into this long dissertation, I mean, when she called and she cried about feeling obligated and burdened to the point to where she was fearful of her salvation. That is not where Christians, believers of Christ, need to be.
That's right.
God said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. When he came out of the tomb, he had on the same grave clothes that they buried him in. Jesus then told the people to loose Lazarus and let him go. And what Jesus was telling the people is, I raised him. I brought him from death to life. I opened the blinded eyes. Your job is to remove all of that junk, all of that mess, and all of that stuff that you put on him. And we've gotten to the point, here I am saying we again, so you probably don't get me again, JR. We've gotten to the point that the people are coming into the church, they're supposed to be loosed of all of that junk, all of that guilt, all of that bondage. But what do? We pick and we choose which bandages we're going to take off. I heard in a lot of the comments the last about 30, 45 minutes,
you know, we've looked at it, we've tackled this thing of tithing, and we've tied it into discipleship. Jesus taught, and then he sent them out. So we have to teach before we sent out.
That's right.
It's about, like Adia said, it's about education. It's about understanding. It's about knowing. Because truth of the matter is, if we're doing it without an understanding that it is what God wants us to do in love, then God says, keep your money. And my final thought, my final question, and hopefully we get to this next week, is tithing only referring to money? This has been a great show. It's been exhilarating. I've learned a lot. And thank you for another opportunity. And I can't even get my words together. Amen. God bless you.
Yes, amen. Amen. Sometimes it just be like that. Sister Sanders, let me go back to Sister Sanders briefly. Did you have any final comments that you wanted to say to the listeners this evening, sis? I guess you dropped the call. But let me just say this to everybody. Brother Priester, what you said was what? You said Jesus taught before he sent them out. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I said.
I got one to add to that. So Jesus taught them before he sent them out, but God taught them before he brought them in. So as we're talking about tithing, he gave the command to tithe for a place that he was taking them into and how they were to act, how they were to behave, how their conduct was supposed to be once he brought them into a place where they had that rest. Let me go to the standards if I just extend the show a little bit longer. Go ahead, cousin.
You know, Nate, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
You know, I was just sitting here, you know, earlier when we were talking, and I really believe that this is the Lord that laid this on my heart. And I know we've heard the scripture. I don't know where it is. I'm in the New Testament, where the lady only gave, I think it was like a denarii, or it might be equivalent to a penny.
A penny, the mic.
But that lady gave all that she had. And God said, because of what she gave, she was blessed more than those who had more to give because of her heart. And I think that it's so important that as leaders, as pastors, as men and women of God, that we teach people out of the love of God, that we not teach them to bring fear, but we teach them of the love of God. Because I believe so much in my heart that he cares about us, that he cares about me so much, that he would rather me give from my heart. And when we don't teach people, when we don't give people that same opportunity to receive God's love, to experience his love, we are basically setting them up to walk in tradition. We are setting them up to walk in religiosity. We're setting them up to walk in tradition. And I just think that it's so important that, you know, that when we talk about certain things that impact people and how they give and what they're bringing to the body of Christ, that we give it to them in the context of love, that we speak in the context of just compassion. Because when that lady gave what she had, it was her best offering. When we look at Cain and Abel, when we look at what Abel gave, it was his best, and it wasn't because he gave it wasn't because of the animal that he gave, but it was because of his heart, where his heart was at. And I mean, I can tell you just from my own personal experience, sometimes I wasn't able to give because I didn't always do right with my finances. But when I made up in my mind and in my heart that I wanted to give because I love God, he began to make, to show me, and he sent people into my life to teach me the right way to handle my finances. And it wasn't in a condemning way. It wasn't in a way to make me feel embarrassed or to feel ashamed. But it was in a way to let me know that God loves me. And we got to speak to people with the love of Christ and not make people feel like they are worthless, because what they have to give from their heart is far more important than what they can give because they have a job. I have a mother who is on a fixed income, and I know that if she could give her all, she would, because she's that kind of person. But when you have people that are preaching these words just so that they can make people give more, instead of them giving the 50 that they know that they can only afford to give, not dismissing that God can do exceedingly and abundantly, but when we walk in a reality, when we stop living out of people's purses and their wallets, and just let people give and teach them the right way, we will be so far more blessed. I believe that our tithes and offerings will go up in the church because people would understand the biblical principle, and it starts with the love of God, because God is love. And when he sent his only son to die for us, he died for everything. He died for everything, for sickness, for debt, for disease, for everything that we could think of that people would try to throw into our faces now, even in the church. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for it. And I just want people to know that when you just open up your heart to receive the word of God, that when you hear Malachi 3 and 8 being read in churches on Sunday, that you would just pray that God will show you, that you will pray that God will show you what you need to do in order to give. And I believe that God is going to do that for those that are listening, because he wants people that are going to be real. He wants people that are going to give not just their money, but their time, their talents, and their gifts. He wants people that are going to understand his word and that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because he says that they will be filled. And I believe that on tonight, that God is going to do a work in the people that are listening, and that we're going to take this word and share it with others. And I just thank you for this opportunity, Nate. I thank you, Feaster. And I thank you to all of you who have continued to listen, that you will be blessed beyond measure because of your faithfulness and you giving your time to bless us on tonight with the comments and just listening to what we've had to say. And I thank you so much, Nate. I thank you.
You know what? I don't think y'all need to hear anything else from me. So we're going to end the show. We're going to end it with the hope and prayers of what Brother Feaster has said, the hope and prayers of what Sister Sanders has said. And I think on next week, I'm really led for us to bring that brother back and let him be on with us for a little while. So we need to go ahead and do all that we can to get as many people to join in on next Thursday night at 8 p.m. to listen and have the conversation. You really do not know what God is doing in his kingdom. We're not the controllers of it. God is the controllers. He's the orchestrator. We are just players in this whole thing. So everything is under his control. Everything is in his hands, and we just want everybody to be blessed. Is tithing a sacrifice? It's not a sacrifice. It's not hard, as one brother just told me. It's something that you should be willing to do out of the gracefulness, out of your heart's love for who God is and what he's done to provide for you. Here's where I think, and this is where I'm going to leave it at, here's where I think it becomes a thing of conflict, a thing of challenge for us who have, those of you, I would say, who grew up in the church, for those of us who are in the body of Christ now, for those of us who have
left the church and don't want any parts of it because of the way they saw money being handled, whatever the case may be. This is a show for you to be able to come and to share and sit down at the table with individuals that are just going to be real with this thing. I challenge everybody to go and look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, particularly verse 22 to 29, and that's going to really answer a lot of people's questions, but it's also going to bring you to a place, I promise you, of asking more questions. And we hope to be able to, that God gives us the space to be able to really deal with that next week, on next Thursday. And let me sum it up with Deuteronomy 14, even though I want everybody to read it. God took them to a place where they were able to do this. In today's churches, let me just break it down and make it really simple. In my church is comprised of individuals who have been there all their life, don't know anything else other than my church. It's comprised of individuals who have a little bit of change in their bank and are struggling to make ends meet on a week-to-week basis. It's comprised of individuals not all from the same cultures. It's comprised of individuals with different political aspirations and political mindsets and political goals and political preferences. So there's a diversity that we have in most of our churches. Let me break it down again. There's a diversity that we have in my church. And then there's also the complexity of dealing with the fact that if my church was to do what Pastor Sherrod, am I saying it right, Brother Feaster?
Yes, sir, it is Sherrod.
If my pastor decided to do or was led to do what Pastor Sherrod did, what is that going to do to the people? What it's going to do is do nothing but bless them. Because in reality, we're going to be going back to a Deuteronomy 14 time where everybody was getting the same instruction all at the same time. Go back to my church. My church has individuals that do not come from the particular denomination that my church is affiliated with sometimes, quote unquote. There's individuals there that come from different faith traditions, and some come from no faith tradition. So everybody is in this one church, my church. But everybody, Brother Feaster, everybody, Sister Sanders, did not get taken in to the place where we are in my church all at the same time. And therefore, we all do not have the same understanding about the different laws, the different principles, the different commands, the different ordinances, the different statutes, even to take it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We all don't even have the same concept of what love is. So it shouldn't be a thing where we are confused of why we're not on the same sheet of music when it comes to tithing in my church. Magnify that to Brother Feaster's church. Extend that out to Sister Sanders' church, all those who are still listening to us at this 9:30 hour. And then think about when people from my church connect with people from Brother Feaster's church or from your church, and we're having a conversation about, does God require us to tithe? And I think I broke this down last week, Brother Feaster. I said, if you go into your community and you ask three pastors in your immediate community what their understanding of tithing is, you're going to get three different understandings, at least one different understanding. And if you ask three people within each one of those congregations what their understanding of tithing is, you're probably going to get at least one or two different answers. We can't put this thing together. It is not our job, ladies and gentlemen, to make everybody tithe. It's not our job to make everybody have the understanding. We can put out what God gives us. We can put out what the Word of God has, the written Word of God says, and what the Spirit of God is saying to us. But it's your decision on how you move from there. So we're going to keep plugging away at this, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, again, I thank you all for everything that you do in making this show a success. I truly know that God is pleased. I can speak for me personally. I have so many people, and I'm going to post so many of your comments. We have a lot of people that have been texting me,
a lot of people who have been sending me messages on Facebook, and I'm going to just get these questions and these comments posted on the PRF page because it's required. It's needed. People want to hear what is going on with other people as well. I hope at the end of the day that everything that we're doing here on the PRF table, and this is my prayer, that it helps create a cleaner heart if your heart has been muddied by what your experiences are with tithing. For those who have no experience in it and haven't been taught anything, my prayer is that it creates in you a clean heart so that God can use you. Because we don't want to hear the same things we've been hearing tonight over and over and over again. We want to hear some exclamations of rejoice, some exclamations of praise, and some exclamations of worship to the God that has provided everything that we have. So in the end of the day, what I'm thinking really, Brother Priest and Sister Sanders, I just need to say I love you. I love all of you that are listening, that spend your time with us. And know that God wants, he's not concerned about your tithe so much. He wants your heart. And he wants all that you have to offer to him and to the kingdom of God and to the people of God. So with that, we will see you on next week. Please go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Please like the page. Look at the comments on the page. There's a new function on Facebook now where when somebody posts a comment, you can hit reply to that actual comment. So I think that's a good thing. So the conversation will flow in a more methodical manner, and you can see the thread of one particular question that starts off and what everybody has on comment. So until we meet again, we're going to leave you with this one song. It's called He Wants It All by Forever Jones, and we'll see you next week, Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you.
Love him, longing for a child that will give.